Coming up in the next 10 minutes, Garda Grainne Doherty will be joining me with this week's Community Garda Information, where you hear the very latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána Donegal here first every week on the 9 till noon show. If you want to watch that and the rest of the today's show, if you're at home, open up the YouTube app on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, dial in Highland Radio Ireland, and there we are. You can watch it. Or you can watch us across Facebook and on X. Is the Highland Radio concert going ahead tonight? Asks a listener. No, it isn't, because the change to the weather warning is such that it would be irresponsible for us to ask people to either travel to perform at the concert or make their way to it. So no, it's not on tonight. But the good news is it's only deferred for one day. The concert is going ahead tomorrow night. So if you have a ticket for tonight, you can just take that ticket with you tomorrow night. No problem whatsoever. If tomorrow night doesn't suit you, and I hope the absolute majority of you it does, you can also use that ticket for the Birthday Bash concert, which is in March, I believe, which is going to be another great show. Or if you can't make it at all, give us a ring here at the radio station, 07491 25000. If you've booked a hotel package to stay at the hotel tonight, that is also transferable to tomorrow night. If you can just ring up the Mount Errigal Hotel and sort that, reference that with them, they'll make sure that that's all good for you. The Young at Heart Christmas party at the Radisson Hotel in Letterkenny tonight is cancelled, this due to the weather warning. And that party will now be held at the same time on Tuesday, the 16th of December. So that's the Young at Heart Christmas party there. Greg, I just went out the back of the house and it's actually warmer outside than it is in the house. Well, I haven't lit a fire yet. I noticed that one day a few weeks ago, I can feel the warm air when I open the door. If it wasn't a bit drizzly, I could nearly sit out the back. I hope that's not a bad omen for the storm. It's just where the weather's coming from and where it originates. This is a southerly storm, and generally, even at this time of year, if you get weather whipped up from the south, it brings warmer temperatures. So today, quite mild, 12 to 15 degrees expected today. So I'm not a meteorologist, nor would I ever pretend to be, but the temperature is more indicative of where the storm is coming rather than the storm itself. A caller says, how important is taking vitamin D from October till April as a precaution to getting the flu? Well, vitamin D, I don't know. Vitamin D is good for you, though. So, and the more resilient you are, the better. So I think any vitamin that you might be deficient in, you're better to be not deficient in. So I'd imagine the obvious answer might be yes. There are only two men working for AIR as part of their crew. There's no crew. This is why faults are not being dealt with. I don't know if you mean across the country or just in the county or what have you, but if a business is being impacted and, anyway. Morning, Greg. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. I watched the show on YouTube. The volume on the TV has to go up louder to hear the talking segments of the show, but the moment you go to the ads, the volume could blow you out of the room. I don't know if it's a YouTube thing or something you can control, but the volume variation is very high. Well, listen, let me explain. Thank you for that. That's really positive feedback. The stream that goes out to our social media is just a raw stream. So if I can be a bit quiet at times and I can lean back, right? So on my display here, it's at zero. Okay, so if I lean forward, then it sort of pops up to six. So there is a variation there. The ad breaks generally run at six. So if I've been quiet and I'm sort of talking away like that and then go to the ads, it is going to boost up. On radio, it's not so bad because it's compensated for. It goes through a system and an Optimod, but the stream is a raw stream to the online. So it's something I just have to be a little bit more conscious of. And it is something I can have a positive impact on that. So listen, thank you really very much for your feedback. I like feedback, good or bad, because it's never ignored. We have an appointment at Letterkenny Hospital this morning. Just wonder if appointments are going ahead. Normally the way it works with appointments, isn't it, Caroline, that the hospital will contact people directly? You can't throw out a blanket thing there because there are various reasons and departments and importance and urgencies and stuff. So it's not like jury service or schools or events. I think the hospital would contact you if there is a change to your appointment. If I'm wrong in saying so, please let me know. I don't want to give out any poor information. Anne McIntyre of Cavan Hill in Lifford. Happy birthday, Anne. Lots of love coming in from the in-laws, John and Mary McIntyre. So happy birthday to you, Anne. And by the way, of course, you know, we're not all serious on this show. We do have a great mix. If you listen throughout the course of the 3 hours, we've got a great mix of various content, from the very latest news and on issues to things that are important to you, more lighthearted stuff. So we do welcome your requests as well. We generally get to them around this time of the day. And of course, from January the 5th, is it the 5th that we come back? January the 5th or 6th, Caroline? The 5th or 6th? Anyway, it's the Monday. We're coming back to a new show. It's the same show, but it's a new show, the 5th. And it's the Greg Hughes show. We went 10 to 1, the 10 to 1 show, then the 9 to 12. Couldn't go in another time slot. So it's the Greg Hughes show coming back. We have been on the Mongero a little bit over the Christmas period. We're coming back to as a 2 hour show. But for factors with, you know, some slight variation, we're not actually really losing a great deal of time. It's not an hour. It's much less than an hour. And, of course, it's part of a new and exciting daytime schedule. So this show will remain the same. We'll say the same level of commitment to you and the issues and the news. It's just that we will deliver it all in 2 hours. So you won't be disappointed in that regard. We'll get as much out as we do now. It'll just be probably less waffling like I'm doing now, but I just wanted to reference this because I haven't really since the launch. So we're coming back. Of course, I've had contacts from people saying, well, why are you going down to two and this, that and that? Listen, it's just really, we're one of the last 3 hour shows in the country as well. It has to be said. Also, it has to be said that Sean Doherty's show originally started as a 2 hour show. So it's really sort of back to the future or forward to the past or whatever way you want to describe it. But listen, you're not going to miss out on anything. We'll have the community guide information. We'll have all the regular features that you enjoy. We'll be able to still platform the issues that are important to you. We're just going to tighten things up a little bit. But what it does do is it frees up a little bit of my time as well for us to step into the podcast scene a little bit more from this show's perspective. And it means we'll be able to do some longer form interviews that you'll really enjoy. You know, we do know you love the human interest stuff. We do know you love listening to people's stories, maybe hearing from someone in a different way. Let's just say, hypothetically, a politician. How about interviewing a politician, but not about politics, just literally about what life is like working in that job? Just an example off the top of my head. I'm not saying we're doing that, but that's the kind of stuff that we can dedicate a bit more time to, because more and more of you are listening to podcasts as well. So we are linear, but also digital, and it's kind of a mix. And hopefully you'll come along in that ride with us as well. So that's all coming up in January. Of course, John Bresson then runs from 11 to 1, David James 1:30 to 3:30. And then Anya and Danny have a new show, Taking You Home. It's a new drive time show, which will be exciting, something new for you to listen to. But again, you know, you go, well, you change, but change is fine because there was a drive time show before. So it's a little bit of going back to where we were at before as well. So, you know, we all managed the last time, if that makes sense. But it's actually exciting, isn't it? Two new voices for you on the radio. And then, of course, Ivan with his Power Hour from 5. Importantly, the evening news returns back to 5:30. It was always a popular slot. Good to get back to 5:30. So we'll have the news, sport and obituaries, 5:30 to 6. And the main lunchtime news, of course, for you is at 1 o'clock. Our main morning news now as well, by the way, and this change has been implemented for a couple of weeks, starts at 8 a.m. And it's just trying to catch you at the right time when you're getting ready, in the car, whatever it might be. Right, so as I say, for this show, exciting times. The exact same show, the exact same team, just a little bit tighter, but also stepping from the linear into from the scheduled into the podcast world as well, with some very exciting, interesting interviews that you'll be able to listen to at your leisure. Right, I'm going to take a break. Good luck if you're playing the bingo today. We'll be back with Garda Grania after these messages.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26-025.
Yes, indeed. 22 minutes past 10 this Tuesday, the 9th of December. Garda Grania Doherty's with me. Hi, Grania. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. I'm doing great.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Right. Quite a bit to get through between appeals and information and answering some questions out there as well. And also, too, what Garda you have to say about the weather that's coming throughout the course of the day. But let's start with those appeals, and we'll go to St Johnstone first, Grainne.
Yes, Garda, you're investigating an incident of criminal damage. This occurred in the area of Clashygowan, St Johnstone, on Tuesday the 2nd of December in and around 7:20pm. So a wheelie bin outside a property in that area was set alight around that time. The fire services attended the scene, and thankfully the fire hadn't spread. We're appealing to anybody who might have observed any type of suspicious activity in that area around that time to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100. If there was anybody in that area with a dash cam between 7pm and 8pm on that date, we're asking them, as always, please make that footage available to us. And in relation to, for this appeal and all of our appeals today, the Garda Confidential Line, the number for them is 1800 666 111.
We can't talk about any ongoing investigations, nor would we, but we've had this conversation a couple of times on this programme, and unfortunately we've seen the very tragic reality of homes being targeted, right, in different ways. You know, will the penny ever drop that whatever the motivation that these people might have for these types of activities close to houses, that the consequences can be absolutely tragic and huge?
Of course they can. They have been in the past, many's a time, you know, and thankfully, again, as I said, you know, that fire was contained. The fire services put the fire out, but could have had a whole different outcome, you know, if that fire had spread further afield. And people need to take that on board, you know, when they're carrying out these types of activities, just how serious the outcome and how tragic the outcome could be.
Yeah, indeed. Let's go to Cashel Park in Letterkenny, Grainne.
Yes, this is an incident of criminal damage. This happened in Cashel Park, Letterkenny, on Thursday the 4th of December at about 8pm. So in around that time, the residents heard a bang, and the front door, the glass in the front door at their house, was shattered. So we're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in that area with a dash cam around that time to contact us. If anybody witnessed the incident, of course, we wish to speak to them, or anybody with any relevant information are asked to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
Now, investigations ongoing into a single vehicle collision in Carndonagh.
Yes, so this single vehicle collision happened on the R244 at Carrick of Fodden, Carndonagh, on Tuesday the 2nd of December at around 10:10am. So the vehicle involved was an ambulance. The driver and the passenger sustained injuries, none of which are believed to be life-threatening in nature, thankfully. We're appealing to anyone who may have witnessed this collision to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 9320540. And as always, as with most of our appeals, we're looking for dash cam footage from that area if anybody can assist with that.
Road traffic collision being investigated too in Newtown Cunningham.
Yes, this collision happened on the N13 at Bohullion Lower, Newtown Cunningham, on Saturday the 6th of December, shortly before midnight and around 11:55pm. So two vehicles, a black Lexus and a silver Lexus, had been involved in this collision. Both vehicles sustained substantial damage. And when the Gardaí arrived, no drivers or passengers were at the scene, and both vehicles were seized. So we're appealing to anybody who might have observed this collision to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100. Anybody who may have travelled along that route, the N13 in the Newton Cunningham area, between 11:30pm and half past 12 at night with a dash cam, we're asking them to make that footage available to us also, please.
And of course, someone's landed home without a car, or a couple of people have.
They have, of course, yeah. And listen, the people involved in this collision possibly also sustained injuries, you know. And if there's anybody that has somebody like that that arrived home with injuries, we'd ask them maybe to come and speak to us also, because just in relation to the manner of driving, you know, we get a lot of reports, not in relation to this particular incident. We can't say what the driving was like, but there are a lot of reports of dangerous driving in that particular area. And we'd also appeal to anybody who has somebody in the house who does get involved in this type of activity on the roads, please do even come speak to the Gardaí so that we can talk to them, you know.
Well, there's a tough love potential here, really, you know, because how does it end?
It does, yeah. And look, not everybody's aware of what their young people or sons, daughters, brothers, sisters are at when they're out in the roads. We know that. But some people are, and they're fully aware of what their family members or friends are involved in. And speak to them yourself. But if you feel you're not getting through to them, please do come talk to us, and maybe we can have a word with them, you know, because we want to save lives in the roads. That's the main aim of the game here.
That's the priority, isn't it? A third collision being investigated, this time in Inishowen.
Yes, this collision happened in a car park at St Mary's Road, Buncrana, on Wednesday the 3rd of December, shortly after 5:15 in the evening. A white Peugeot Partner van had been parked up in that car park. It's believed to have been damaged when a grey Volkswagen Caddy van reversed into it, and the Volkswagen van then left the car park. So we're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in the area of St Mary's Road or within that general area within Buncrana town between 5:10pm and 5:30pm with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. Any relevant information can be passed to Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540. And as you often mention it, actually, when we do these types of appeals, and rightly so, the person who was driving that Volkswagen van may not even have realised at the time that that happened. They might get home, they might have realised afterwards that they had scratched something or something had happened their van. Just we're asking them, please, too, if that is the case, to come in and speak to Gardaí.
Always better to be proactive in those situations, yeah, I would imagine, because it sounds like there's good information out there. Now, Donna Marie was up at the high-profile cross-border launch of the road safety campaign. It's been ongoing for quite some time. And again, this is about trying to eliminate serious injury and collisions on our roads. That's the motivation. Guards aren't on commission for this stuff, right? This is just about making sure that there aren't any seats at the table empty at Christmas or into the new year. So just recap what the operation entails then.
Yeah, so in Garda Síochána are conducting a dedicated road traffic enforcement operation throughout the festive period. It began on the 1st of this month, December, and it's going to continue until the 5th of January. I know figures were released yesterday, and I know you did report on those already, so I didn't bring those with me in relation to all of the detections so far the first week of that campaign. So a joint Garda Síochána PSNI road safety briefing did take place yesterday morning at Bridge End at the border crossing, and Superintendent David Kelly was there. And he spoke about the importance of everybody working together to ensure safety on our roads. And as part of our road safety campaign, we will be working in conjunction with the PSNI to try and prevent fatal or serious injury collisions over the Christmas New Year period. And I was tuned in actually to what Superintendent Kelly was talking about. And I thought it was very interesting, you know, the comments about, you know, about clubs and memberships and, you know, these funerals following a fatal collision on a road. And rightly so, you know, there's guards of honours and everybody's out in their colours, their club colours and this and that. And he made a good point, you know, that's after the fact. But maybe within clubs, membership societies, you know, speak to your membership and talk to them and, you know, out of concern, talk to them about safety on the road. And we could all improve, you know, our behaviours on the road. Everybody gets into bad habits on the roads, and we're asking everybody, please work with us. And, you know, together we'll try and save lives on the roads. You know, it's not a job for us solely. Everybody has to take responsibility themselves also for their own behaviour on the roads. So we are out on the roads conducting high visibility checkpoints, MIT checkpoints, that's mandatory intoxicant testing checkpoints, and patrols. So here in Donegal over the past week alone, 5 people have been arrested on suspicion of drink driving offences. 4 have been arrested on suspicion of drug driving. And out of those 9 drivers, 3 were already disqualified from driving.
Which is quite remarkable too, because this is a snapshot. You can't be everywhere, right?
Yeah.
But this is a snapshot of the activity. 9 people on suspicion of drink or drug driving. A third of those shouldn't have been driving at all in the first place.
Yeah, it's frightening. You know, it's frightening to think that that's happening on the roads, but it is. It's happening.
But there's a lot of other enforcement going on as well that we don't hear about in terms of car seizures, etc. I don't think people might not necessarily know the frequency of seizures, but it is a power the Gardaí do exercise quite a lot.
They do, and they seize vehicles for a number of reasons. So over the past week, 21 vehicles have been seized in Donegal, and that's for various reasons. You know, no insurance, no tax, no NCT. 4 of those 21 vehicles were seized under Section 109A of the Road Traffic Act 1961. I think it's important just to point out what that legislation is about. So we can seize a vehicle which has been used, is being used, or is likely to be used in a dangerous manner in any place that may be dangerous to persons present or likely to be present. So dangerous driving instances, you know, this legislation is put into practice, the vehicle seized, and then in order to get your vehicle back, you have to apply to the judge of the district court. So this legislation is enforced regularly in a bid to keep everybody safe on the roads here in Donegal. So fixed charge penalty notices have been issued and are being issued for various offences such as speeding, driving on a learner permit while unaccompanied. You know, under the Clancy Amendment, you must be accompanied if you're driving on a learner permit. The non-wearing of seatbelts and holding using a mobile phone while driving. This is one of the most busiest periods on Irish roads, the run-up to Christmas. And it's also one of the periods during which road users are at the highest risk of being involved in a fatal or serious injury road traffic collision. So we're appealing to everybody who's taken to the roads this Christmas and over the New Year period, please slow down, take extra care and give driving your full attention. Put the mobile phone in the glove compartment, put it in silent, just keep it out of reach. Don't be tempted to look at your phone while driving. And wear your seatbelt. Make sure your passengers are wearing their seatbelt also.
Yeah, and when there are specific activities by Angada Síochána, or when there are particular campaigns, it's based off statistics, and never is a good time to lose anyone. But I think people that have lost people around Christmas know that it can be particularly tough. You factor into the fact that the roads are very busy, a lot of traffic about, people are rushing here and there, there's school buses out there, there's pedestrians, there's scooterists, there's cyclists. We all have to share this space. None of us want to be that person that's not there at Christmas for our loved ones. And none of us want our Christmas ruined forever by being responsible for taking the life of somebody else. And that is why we do this. It's immeasurable. We don't know. Does it save a life? I'm sure it does, but we don't know, because we just simply don't know how many people will die. What we do know, that if we don't change our habits, people will. So that's why we do this. That's why the Gardaí do this. That's why the Gardaí don't want to be knocking on someone's door, or none of us want to be that person opening the door. But sadly, unless we do change our behaviours, that is going to happen. And it happens all too frequently in every parish in the county. It's happened at one time or another. And this is all about trying to ensure it doesn't happen again. So as Grania says, quoting the superintendent, you know, now is the time to step in. Celebrate their life whilst they're alive, and celebrate their life by guiding them or giving them advice, or if they need to be spoken to by the Gardaí, being spoken to by the Gardaí, rather than, I'm not a huge fan of young people having to do these guards of honours, especially in certain circumstances. I've had my own views in relation to that in the past. Let's avoid that conversation by not having to have it happen. And it's not just young people as well, of course, and it's not just drivers, it's cyclists, motorcyclists, scooter users, and pedestrians as well. Right, yes, of course, please.
Before you finish there, we also, just came into my head there, we also, there's a fantastic lifesaver project, and that's delivered by the Roads Policing Unit. So if any clubs or societies or schools, you know, wish to have this project delivered, they can contact even any of the larger stations, Letterkenny, Milford, Ballyshannon or Buncrana, and we can arrange that for them to have the Roads Policing Unit call out to do that presentation.
And you can have your car, and it can be done up to the nines. You can polish it, you can put rims on it. It just has to be compliant with the road safety laws, and you have to drive it in a compliant way.
Exactly,
that's it.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, no one's trying to take anyone's car off them or say, don't be proud of your car, or don't have fun, or, you know, don't show off. But I mean, visually show off, right, with how nice your car is. It's just drive it in a way whereby you and it get home safe. Right, so obviously we're talking about the orange wind warning. It's orange at the moment for obvious reasons, again, not to startle, but just to remind people, again, it's about saving lives, saving injury. What's the message from Angada Síochána, Grania?
Yes, well, I don't think there's a listener out there that isn't aware of this today, the orange wind warning. They've heard nothing else, I suppose, for the last day or two. But there is an orange wind warning in place. Met Éireann have issued that. It's changed now slightly this morning. It's now in place between 2 p.m. and 9 p.m. today for Donegal. So we're advising the public, keep an eye on Met Éireann's updates, you know, in case the weather warnings change over the course of the day, or that the timings might change.
All is entitled.
And the public are advised to take extra care on the roads if you must travel. Expect surface water, possible debris. You know, you could have fallen branches, trees. Mm. You could find that a trampoline could come out in front of you, a wheelie bin. Expect the unexpected. There could be poor visibility. Slow down. Leave extra time for your journey if you must go out today. And please take extra care on any exposed roads or bridges. So a red warning is in place also for the coastal areas. Keep away from coastal edges, marinas and piers. We're just asking people, please do not put yourself or any of the emergency services at risk. Keep local emergency numbers to hand. So we, the Gardaí, may be reached 24/7 in Letterkenny on 9167100. Milford on 9153060, Buncrana on 9320540, and Ballyshannon on 0719858530, and as always 999 or 112 is your go-to in the event of an emergency. We're asking people, don't hesitate. If you need our assistance today, or you know if somebody who's vulnerable, maybe you're alone and they need our help, please do contact us and we'll do our best to get to them.
Yeah, I know the weather operates different at sea than it does on land, but if you look at the Fannin Peninsula, it's orange surrounded by red, right?
Yeah.
And the whole county is actually. And also our friends and neighbours in Derry, Tyrone, and much of Ulster, except for sort of southeast Ulster, they're in a yellow warning. The rest of us all in orange, which will please some less than others. Right, okay. Now, questions from last week. Could you please ask Garda Grania to emphasise the responsibility of pedestrians to wear luminous or white clothing when out and about at dusk to dawn twilight. So it's not a question as such, it's a frustration. And I suppose they're looking at you to give some advice, guidance, yeah, well, this or is, a stern finger wagging.
Yeah, well, we regularly do highlight the importance of wearing high-vis clothing. Sorry, I can understand the frustration of that caller because I'm sure you've come across it yourself. People out wearing black clothing at the side of the road, it could be wet, foggy, and you're nearly on them before you see them. So we're asking people, please do wear your high-vis vest, you know, armbands. Make sure that you can be seen clearly by drivers when out on the roads. And I see a post there yesterday or the day before by Donegal County Council. They and the Donegal Road Safety Working Group, they're also encouraging everybody to stay visible on the darker winter days. So to support public safety, they have now made high visibility vests available, and they're available at the Donegal County Council Public Service Centres in Dunloe, Donegal Town, Milford, Letterkenny, Carndonagh, and at the County House in Lifford for free while their supplies last. We have a small number of them, I think, also left at Letterkenny Garda Station also. If anybody wants to call in there for one, they're free to do that. So it is vitally, it's important to be seen, you know, to be safe and be seen. So we're also urging drivers, please remain alert and be on the lookout for vulnerable road users.
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, though, you just see it every morning.
Well, you do, yes, it's commonplace, yeah.
It's just such a gamble. It's like a gamble. You know, because it's so hard to see people in black clothes with headlights in your eyes, rain, wind. You know, it's just so hard to see people. And it's just such a calculated gamble because everybody knows at this stage, right, that if you can't be seen, there's likelihood you'll be knocked over. But people still, every single day, risk it. But anyway.
But look, it's you know, for such a simple thing to do, it would take you 2 seconds to throw on your high-vis. And I think there's maybe a thing there too with, I know, at my own house, the teenagers, they don't even want to put on coats. Going to school, never mind a high-vis, you know, yeah. That's the problem. But pack one onto their bag. Parents, please do pack one, even a few armbands. They mightn't mind the armbands so much, but you do see it when you're out in the roads. It makes the difference, it's like the difference in night and day when you come on a pedestrian and they have the high-vis on.
Reduce the risk and that's it. Right, Grainne, thank you very much indeed. Okay. I really do appreciate your time. That's Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny Garda Station. That was this week's Community Garda Information. It's available on our podcast and on our Facebook pages and the Gardaí Facebook page a little later on. And it's back with you live after the news next Tuesday. Now, you're very welcome back to the programme. I'm joined on it now by Dr. Maureen Ryan. Good morning, Maureen. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. Very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, this morning, HICWA, the Health and Information and Quality Authority, they're launching a public consultation on their latest draft health technology assessment of immunisation against respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. I always call it RSV.
Me too.
For good reason now. Maureen, so what is this study about, or this consultation about, sorry?
So RSV is a lower respiratory infection. It affects the lungs and the upper airways. And for most people, it's self-limiting. They don't need to attend the doctor, but occasionally it can cause very serious lung infections. So pneumonia or bronchiolitis, and particularly can affect young children, especially small babies, and also older adults are at risk. So the minister has asked us to do a health technology assessment and to assess different immunisation strategies for these at-risk groups. So we've done that and pulled together all of the international evidence on the strategies that are available, on the use of them in other countries, on the information around the clinical benefits in terms of decreasing the risk of severe disease and decreasing the risk of hospitalisation, the evidence on safety. We've also looked at the cost and then also whether that represents a good use of HSC resources, and also how the HSC can organise itself in order to implement these immunisation strategies. So pulling all of that information together, we're putting it out to consultation today so that anybody who has an interest in the area or expertise can see what we have done and can comment on that. And then we'll finalise the report once we have the input from the consultation and provide it to the minister as advice. And then she will make a decision then as to whether we will implement these immunisation strategies in Ireland or not.
In the decision-making process, what weight will be given to the public consultation element of it?
So the public consultation, from our perspective, I suppose it's twofold. One is the transparency aspect. So it puts it out there and allows people to see what we are putting into this report that will then go to the minister and gives them the opportunity to comment. So sometimes it'll be commentary, and sometimes we'll get commentary from members of the public, which helps to give, to frame, I suppose, kind of what the impact of the disease is for patients and for their families. And we can reflect that in the report. Other times people will pick up, you know, that there's some information that they think would be relevant to include in the report, and they'll provide us with that, and then we'll check that out and add that in as well if it makes sense, you know, if it's validated and we can add it to the report. So that's effectively what we do during the consultation process and the updates to the report.
Now, I haven't seen this yet, right? But I will take an interest in it. For me, really, though, it comes down to, and is this information available? If we spend this money, 50 or 60 million euro, to immunise all infants over 5 years, and also 70 million euro to immunise people aged 80 or plus. So if we don't immunise them, what life loss are we talking versus immunising? Because that really is the factor to me. Money is irrelevant, especially with the amount of money this country is taking in 1 month in corporation tax. So really, I'm interested in how many lives would be saved, how many hospitalisations would be avoided with these programmes.
Okay, so if we take it with hospitalizations first, we've about 2,000 hospitalizations a year, and probably about 80% of those are in small children under the age of 1 year. And also those hospitalizations in small children, they tend to be concentrated during the RSV season. It runs from about September, October to February, March. And the greatest majority of those hospitalizations happen in the last quarter of the year. So October, November, December put big pressure on the hospitals in terms of, I suppose, you know, the risk of overcrowding. Then that has impacts for scheduled care and unscheduled care. So, you know, other children's operations, for example, may need to be postponed. And it also, there's a risk of hospital-acquired infection, and it challenges the delivery of safe and effective care. And then in terms of hospitalizations in older adults, then there's, you know, there's a few hundred hospitalizations in older adults that occur during that time period. In terms of the effectiveness of the interventions in avoiding hospitalizations, it's probably about 80%. So 4 out of 5 of those hospitalizations may not happen if all of the group are immunized, but, you know, you probably won't get uptake of 100% generally.
No, the line seems to have dropped there. I'm not sure if Storm Bram is having an impact. I'll give it a moment here to see if our connection with Dr. Maureen Ryan reconnects. So you can have your say. Yes, you are there. Sorry, Maureen. I know it just glitched a little bit.
I am.
So it's not possible, though, to put a what then per hospitalisation, what is the fatality rate?
So it's actually, I suppose, in terms of, as I said, the biggest burden is in small children, and actually mortality is very low. Mm. It's very, very small numbers, probably, you know, I suppose maybe occurring in somebody who is very unwell anyway, maybe who is infected with RSV. So we're talking about like last year, there were no deaths at all in Ireland. The year before, we're talking about very, very small numbers. So small, actually, we're not allowed to report them. So if anything is less than five,
yeah,
we're not allowed to give the number. And that's down to the care that is provided in our paediatric hospitals, you know, in terms of the care and the expertise that's provided by healthcare staff. But it still means that, you know, you have like a small baby who's in hospital. And if they, you know, if there isn't an ICU admission, you're talking about 3 days in hospital on average. And if there's an ICU admission, you're talking about 7 or 8 days in hospital. Yeah. So it is substantial, the impact that it has for a family.
It just feels like this is coming at us in waves now, right? Because we had the decision not to use the enhanced flu jab because of money, effectively. There is speculation, another conversation now about, you know, whether or not Mongero should be paid for. And it just seems that we're as rich as we've ever been, even though maybe some people may not feel that, Maureen. But now we're putting sort of a cost per hospitalization almost, or per life, or per quality of life. And it just feels like we're getting into a very sort of a clinical space where the public's been brought into this conversation as well.
So I suppose the way we look at it is that, you know, there's a fixed budget. The hospital system has a fixed budget. And, you know, while you're right, we are, relatively speaking, we're a rich country, but there's still is a fixed budget for the HSE, because obviously there are competing priorities, other priorities like housing and all the other things that we're all very familiar with. So there is a fixed budget for the HSE. And then when it comes to spending that fixed budget, these are complex and challenging decisions that have to be made by the minister, obviously with advice from other people within the health service, in terms of, you know, how do you spend that money so that you can maximise the benefit for the population as a whole? Mm. And the kind of work that we do when we look at the, you know, the costs and the effectiveness and make a comparison between those, it allows those choices to be informed. Yeah, okay. So you can make them anyway, yeah, but you only have so much money. Probably the better way to do it is to be informed and know what benefit you're getting for the money that you're spending.
Yes, or I get you, we can't tease this out now, or you have a, you know, the budget is not set from space. We set the budget and then we're confined by that budget. So there is a point down the chain here that that we decide that gets us into this position. But that is currently the way it is. So how do people have their consultation? Because they've got up until the 20th of January. So where is the form available for people to have their say, Doctor?
It's on the website, so www.hicwa.ie. So there's the report's available there, the form's available there. It can be downloaded and posted to us, or it can be completed online.
Lovely stuff. Thanks so much for your time. That's Dr. Maureen Ryan. Again, you see, you know, when you open it up to public consultation, there are some people that won't immunise their children against anything and certainly won't partake in this. And if they do that, are they going to be one of the ones that ends up in hospital? So if you had a programme in place and they didn't take the vaccine or the immunisation, it wouldn't matter anyway. I don't know. I just feel that we've stepped into a point now whereby, whether it's this or the flu, the enhanced flu jab, that someone somewhere is making a decision saying, oh God, no. I mean, five people might die, but, you know, that's going to cost us 50 million. That's crazy. We can't do that. And then it doesn't happen. Does that bother anybody else? Or am I just, you know, talking out of my hat? You know, that we could say, well, I mean, the kids are probably sick anyway. You know, like, I'm not saying anyone's saying that, but... Right, so status orange wind warning for Donegal. I'll just go down the alert. It's the easiest way. Storm Bram will bring very strong to gale force southerly winds with severe gusts. Impacts flooding on low-lying coastal areas, especially during the high tide this evening. Wave overtopping, difficult travel conditions, debris, loose objects, displaced, outdoor events impacted, power outages. That's all a potential, not guaranteed. It's running from 2 o'clock this afternoon until 9 p.m. This evening, and so that's for Donegal, and just be careful is the advice. Oh, it's not the advice; it's just the re-presidential election. I worked at a polling station for the presidential election on the 24th of October, and I've still not been paid. Has anyone else had this issue? We work from 6:30 a.m. till 11 p.m. It's a long day, but it is a lovely day. It'd be nicer if we could get paid. I find not being paid very disrespectful. Greg, surely to encourage shop local, all towns should remove the cost of parking for the month of December. I don't know if that... Listen, there is... I mean, say, for instance, in Letterkenny, you get half an hour, which is enough for me. I run around like a chicken with the head chopped off. Do you know where I drove through recently as well, too, and I hadn't for a while, and it's beautiful, and it's vibrant, and it's busy, is Buncrana Main Street. My word, that is one beautiful town. And it's not that I'm not familiar with Buncrana. In my previous jobs, I've worked all around Buncrana. But from top to the bottom, it seems just like the most busy, bustling town. Shops everywhere. I saw virtually no dereliction. All different types of... In fact, I didn't spot any derelict buildings. I'm not saying they're not there. I didn't spot them. But every single shop you could want to is there as well. And it all looked really, really clean. And so impressed. Buncrana's looking amazing. And I'll tell you, that Main Street looks really busy and vibrant and festive. So fantastic stuff. As I say, it's not that I'm unfamiliar with it. It's just that the sat-nav normally directs you around Buncrana, and I drove through it on the way back from ROB, and I must say, I was blown away by it, and the size of it, and the length of the main street. It really is a great spot. I can see and understand why it's so popular.